your word this morning. I pray that you, your Holy Spirit, would help me and that it would work with me, Father, that you would have me to say, Lord, the things that you want me to say and to not say the things you don't want me to say, Lord. Help me to say what you'd have me to say in the right spirit. And Father, I pray you would allow this to be a time where we can just once again come together and learn from your word. Father, if we could leave here this morning knowing we've learned something from the Bible, then this meeting would be worth it. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Colossians chapter number 2, and we always read the entire chapter whenever we preach God's word, because it's good to read the word of God, and I also want you to see the passage that we're dealing with in its context. But this morning, I just want to deal with a couple of verses, starting in verse number 6. If you look at Colossians chapter number 2, and verse number 6, the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, that statement there is referring to the fact that people have been saved. Notice what it says. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ." So when an individual has received Christ, Jesus the Lord, you see that? Is that talking about someone who's been saved? Someone who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, accepted the gift of eternal life. They know they're saved. They know they're on their way to heaven. And by the way, that's the most important thing anybody could ever do.
Amen.
There's nothing more important in your life. You say, there's no decision in your life that will be more important than the decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, to be saved. You say, there's no decision, there's none. You say, when I got married, when I had children, when I started a business, when I did this, when I did that. There's nothing, because whatever you do on earth, if you die and go to hell, what will it profit a man if a man gain the whole world and he loses his own soul? That's what the Bible says. So the most important thing that someone could do is be saved. But that's not the end. Notice verse 6 says, "As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord." Notice what it says. So, do you see that word so? The word so means in the manner indicated. Or in the same way. Notice, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," he says, "so walk ye in Him." The most important thing that a Christian could ever do, that a human could ever do, is to get saved, is to accept Jesus Christ, is to become born again, or a Christian, or a believer, or whatever terminology you want to use it. And all of those are fine terminology. That's the most important thing someone could do. But once you are saved, God doesn't say, "Okay, you're done. I don't need to see you again until the day of your death." He says, look, in the same way that you got saved, that you received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk ye in Him. He says he wants you to walk with Him. He says he wants you to fellowship with Him. He says he wants you to develop a relationship with Him. Now notice in verse 6, you see that colon at the end of verse 6? The colon is telling us that verse 7 is dealing with or building upon verse 6. Verse 6 ends with this concept. He says, "I want you to walk with Him." That Him is referring to Christ. He says, "I want you to walk with Christ." He says, "I want you to develop a relationship with Christ. I want you to develop an intimacy with Him and a fellowship with Him." And in verse 7, the Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writing to the church in Colossae, begins to give us a few things that would determine how you would do that. And I just have real quick this morning, I don't want to take too long, but I've got 3 points this morning in regards to how it is when you get saved and you begin to walk with God and you begin to develop that relationship. What does that look like? What is it supposed to be? What is a mature Christian, someone who knows God, who walks with God, someone who knows Christ, who walks with Christ, what does that relationship look like? Number one, I'd like you to see in verse 7, you see that word rooted? Bible says, rooted and built up in Him. Number one, I want you to understand that when you get saved, praise God for it. And God wants you to get saved. And that's a big thing here at Verity Baptist Church. We believe in it so much that we go out knocking on doors and preaching the gospel and getting people saved. And you say, well, when you go out there, do all those people come to church? And do all those people? No, they don't all come to church and they don't all get baptized and they don't all follow in everything they're supposed to do. But bless God, at least if they got saved, hey, that's good. Amen. At least they're not going to go to hell. But once you start growing, God says He wants you to get rooted. You said, rooted in what? Rooted. in Christ. Rooted in Him. That word root has to do with the source or the nourishment. The Bible says rooted in Him. Now keep your finger there in Colossians. We're going to come back to Colossians. Obviously that's the text for this morning. But I'd like you to just real quickly go with me to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. So keep your finger there in Colossians and go to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. If you go to the towards the end of the Old Testament, you've got those big major books of the Bible. You've got the book of Isaiah, then you've got the book of Jeremiah, and then Lamentations and Ezekiel. So if you can find those books there, Jeremiah chapter number 17. I'd like you to just see this. Jeremiah chapter number 17, and look down at verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 8. So the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:8, it says, "For He..." I'll wait for you to get there because I want you to see it. In Jeremiah 17:8, the Bible says, "For He shall be as a tree planted by the water." See, that terminology of being rooted, it's a terminology that you would use for a plant or a tree. A plant, or like it says here in Jeremiah, a tree is rooted, and when it is rooted, that is how it gets its nourishment, or that is how it feeds, that is how it grows. And notice what it says in verse 8, "For He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots," notice, "by the river." Do you see that? A tree that's planted by the waters, and because it's planted by the waters, it can spread out its roots into the river, getting a constant flow of water and nourishment. Look what it says. "And shall not see when heat cometh." I want you to remember that, because we're going to look at something here in a second. But it says, when this tree has a constant source of water and nourishment, the environment can change. It can get hot, it can get cold, it can get nasty. But notice what it says. "When He cometh," the middle of verse 8, "but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So it says, when water is scarce, when it doesn't rain, when the environment is not allowing for this tree to be able to grow, it says if it's rooted in a river and water, He says, look, its leaf, it's always going to be green. It's always going to be fine. And what we need to understand there, go real quickly to 1 Timothy. If you kept your finger there in Colossians, if you turn to the right, you got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then you got the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, you say, well, when it says to be rooted in Christ, you say, what does that mean? Well, the Bible tells us this, that Jesus Christ is the Word. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, if you look at verse number 6, I want you to see this. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, you're in Colossians is where we were started. So you just go to the right in your New Testament. You got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then you got the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 6. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." Now notice what it says. Nourished. Talking about being well fed or well sustained. You ever heard of a child being malnourished? It means they're starving. It means they're not getting the vitamins and the diet that they need. Notice what it says. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the" what? "Words of faith." You see that? Yeah. "Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine." The word doctrine means teaching. "Whereunto thou hast attained." Go to the book of Psalms. Psalms in your Old Testament there. Psalm 1. If you open up your Bible, just kind of right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the largest book in the Bible. Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1. Now, remember what we saw in Jeremiah where it talked about a tree that was planted by the waters and its roots went down into the river. And when the heat came and when the drought came, its leaf was green. It yielded fruit still. It was well nourished. It was well maintained. Are you there in Psalm 1? Look at verse number 2. Well, let's read verse 1. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look at verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." That terminology, the law of the Lord, is referring to the Word of God. "But his delight," whose delight? The blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate once a week on Sunday morning. Is that what it says?
Day and night.
Does it say you meditate on it on Sunday morning, and then on Sunday night, and then on Wednesday night when you come to church? Is that what it says? It says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at verse 3, don't miss it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Does that sound familiar? Notice what it says. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, what you understand, you say, well, I got saved, or I'm a believer now, or maybe you're a new believer, and praise God for it. We need new believers around here. That's right. A church, you know, sometimes people come to a church like this, and the biggest problem we've ever had around here is when, quote unquote, mature Christians come to our church and say, well, you've got people running around that they're not dressed exactly how how Baptist is supposed to be dressed, and they don't act exactly how a Baptist is supposed to act, and they don't do this, and I always have to explain to people, see, the difference is you've never gone to a church that's actually reaching their community. Right. Most of these churches just transfer members. And that's okay. If God sends us people, I'm thankful for it, and God bless you for it. But when you start reaching people that are not churched, that do not know the Bible, guess what? They're going to show up and they're not going to act the way they don't know how they're supposed to act, or dress, or talk. And it's our job to teach them and instruct them and give them the Word and give them the doctrine and nourish them. And what we need to understand is this. The biggest problem that we have in Christianity today, the biggest problem we have at Verity Baptist Church today, you said, does Verity Baptist Church have a problem? No, but we all have problems. The biggest issue that Christianity has is that we have a lot of people that are believers in Jesus Christ, and thank God for it. And we've got a lot of people that profess to know the Savior, and thank God for it. But we've got a whole lot of Christians that are weak and anemic and spiritually malnourished, and they don't have strength in their Christianity, and they're constantly, the weather changes, and, oh, Pastor, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with that, and this issue, and that issue. Look, I'm for you. And when you're struggling, I want to come for you, and I want to help you, and I want to, but let me tell you something. There comes a time in your Christian life when you're going to have to realize that if you're going to succeed, you're going to have to put some roots down in the Word of God yourself. You're going to have to get to know Christ and know His Word and know what the Bible says and get planted, because you cannot survive off of one meal a week. You need to know Christ. You say, well, what's the first step? Get rooted. Said, rooted in what? In Christ. Right. Not your career. Not television. Or not your hobby. Or not whatever it is you like to do on your time off. The Bible says his delight will be in the law of the Lord. And in it does he meditate day and night. You need the Word of God. We as Christians should find our nourishment in the Word. First Timothy said, nourished up in the Word of faith and of good doctrine. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You must find your nourishment. You must find your strength. You must find, because let me tell you something. If the analogy is that you're a tree, one day it's not going to rain. You understand that? There's seasons in life. You will go through a drought in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will go through a time in your life when the bank account is not as full as you would like it to be. You will go through a time in your life when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when things aren't going the way, and you're working at it, and you're doing, and you think, I'm doing my best, and I'm doing this, and just every time I turn around, somebody, you're just going to have to, Brother Jose and I were talking about this morning. I often think about the story of David. You remember the story of King David? When King David had his 400 soldiers there, and his 400 warriors there, and he went off to battle doing what God told him to do. And he came back home, and what had happened? The enemy had came while they were away, and had taken their wives, and had taken their children, and had taken their riches. And what happened? Everybody blamed David. Because he's the leader. So was it David's fault? It wasn't David's fault. David was doing what God told him to do. And while David was gone, the enemy came. That happens. You say, well, what happened? David quit on God. That's not what happened. David just said, I forget this, I'm done with this. That's not what happened. The Bible tells us that David learned this concept. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So what did he do? He put some roots down. So when the drought came, so when the heat came, so when the tough times came, guess what? He was still nourished. He was still green. He was still yielding fruit. He was still all right. He was fine because his nourishment was found in the Word of God. His nourishment was found in the Bible. His nourishment was found in the doctrine of God's Word. You must learn to feed yourself out of God's Word. You're going to starve. I'm here to tell you the heat's going to come and you're going to get thirsty and you're going to say, I can't do this. Go with me. Go real quickly. Go to Matthew. Let me show you this. Matthew chapter number, 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13, look at verse number 6. Look at verse 5. I got to hear the famous parable of the sower. I don't have time to go through the whole parable, but I just want you to see this. Matthew 13, look at verse 5. The Bible says, some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Look at verse 6. And when the sun was up, the heat... And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no what? Root. Look what it says. They withered away. Sometimes, as a pastor, one of the toughest things to do, I think one of the, and don't misunderstand me, ministry is great. And we ought to get on our knees every day and thank God that He gives us the ability to serve Him. But one of the toughest things I have found as a pastor is to watch people in their spiritual lives wither away. They get planted and they start growing and they start doing things and you get excited for them. But see, you can only go off of your own battery for so long and eventually the battery will run out. And if you don't learn to recharge, if you don't learn to get nourished, if you're like this plant that because there's no root, it withers when the hot... I'm just telling you, eventually you will run out of whatever it is that keeps you going. And when your marriage gets hard, and when your children get hard, and when the job gets hard, and when the temptation gets great, and when you feel... You say, I haven't drank for 10 years, but now you're feeling that temptation again. Or I haven't smoked for this many years, and you're starting to feel that temptation again. Or I haven't done this or that or whatever it is for however many years. Let me tell you something. If you're not plugged into the Word of God, you're going to wither away. Say, I'm saved, Pastor. Good. Get rooted. I'm saved. Get nourishment. I'm saved. Get rooted in Christ. Get rooted in His Word. Get deep down in the Bible and learn to get fed and encouraged from the Word of God. You're going to need it. Go back to Colossians real quickly. Colossians chapter number 2. That's where we are this morning. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse 7 again. You say, well, what do I do as far as walking? So walk ye in Him. How am I supposed to walk? In what manner? In what way? Number one, get rooted in Christ. Number two, I want you to see. Look what it says. Rooted and built up. Do you see that? Now, here's what you got to understand. Rooted, think about a root. When you look outside at a plant or you look at a tree, do you see its roots? See, roots are hidden inside inward things. Nobody sees that. And what you need to understand is in your Christian life, if you're going to be successful in your Christian life, you're going to have to develop a private walk with God. You can't see those roots. You don't see how much time, you don't see how much time Pastor Jimenez spends reading his Bible, or memorizing, or praying, or whatever. You just see the outward. You see the preaching, and you maybe see me out soul winning, and you see this, and you see that. But let me tell you something. If you don't develop some roots, and you say, well, nobody sees it. But if you don't develop some strength, some inner strength, the Bible tells us, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. If you don't learn that concept, you're going to wither away. It's going to get hot. I'm not talking about just in here. I'm already hot. But in your life, you're going to have a drought, and in your life, it's going to get difficult, and in your life, and if you don't develop a way to nourish, you need to get rooted in Christ. But number two, I want you to see, you got to get built up. Look what it says. Verse 7, Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him. In who? Christ. See, the roots are inward. They're not seen. Every Christian must have an interior nourishment of Christ, but built up. That's on the outside. It says built up in Him. You're there in Colossians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Is everybody comfortable as far as the heat? I don't want you to get withered away. Is it too warm in here? Is it comfortable? I'm always hot. Okay, everybody's good? Almost everybody's good? Okay, good. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 9. The Bible says, built up in Christ. Now, here's what you got to understand. When you got saved, God began to do a work in you. I don't know if you know that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 9, look what it says. For we are laborers together with God. Notice, ye, that's you, are God's husbandry. Ye, that's you, are God's building. Do you see that? God is working on you. God is building you up. You say, well, how does He do that? Well, God only builds on you and God only works on you in two ways. Number one, like we've already talked about, through your time in the Word. And number two, He does it through the preaching of God's Word. He works on you as you come to church and you hear the Bible and you hear it preached and you hear it applied to your life. God is doing a work. Look, every time we open up, and you say, that's why we, you know, Lee Roberson, a great man, a great pastor, he used to say, three to thrive. He said, every Christian needs three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, you really expect us to come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Well, the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. And it's funny that you'll sit down and watch the television every day and don't complain about that. And you'll sit down and go on YouTube every day and that doesn't seem to get boring. And you're on Facebook every other minute. Some of you are on Facebook right now. Acting like you got the Bible on your iPhone. And you're posting about what you had for breakfast this morning. And that doesn't seem to get boring, but for some reason you tell people, hey, you gotta come to church on Sunday. That's Sunday night. Well, that's a little much. You do everything else a little much. You drink a little much. You gossip a little much. God wants to build you, and He does it through the preaching of God's Word. See, God's working on you. God's trying to grow you and strengthen you. But see, here's what you understand. Look at verse 9 again. For we, notice that terminology, that's you and I. For we, and I don't know, if you're on your iPhone, I don't know it, okay? I'm just kidding. For we are laborers together, do you see that? With God. And by the way, that's a great thought. I can labor with God. Amen. I can partner with God. For we are laborers together with God. But notice, you say, well, I'm going to labor together with God, and I'm going to partner up with God. And you say, God, God's going to be my partner, and God's going to be, we're going to do this together. And you say, God, what are we working on? And He says, you. Look what it says. For we are laborers together with God, colon, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Say, God's working on me. Yeah, but God's working on you with you. Say, well, what is it that God wants me to do in my life? Work on yourself. What is it that God wants me to build in my life? You. Go to Jude real quickly, towards the end of the New Testament there. Right before the book of Hebrews, you have the book of Jude. It's one chapter, Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. Right before the book of Revelation, should be fairly easy to find. Right before the last book of the Bible, Jude, only one chapter. Look at verse 20. Look what the Bible says. Jude 1, 20. The Bible says in Jude 1:20, but ye, beloved, look what it says. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, God's working on you, but you should be working on you also. You should be working on yourself also. See, how do I do that? By applying what you read in the Word. By applying what you hear in the preaching? Let me just ask you a question, and don't answer out loud. Obviously, it's a question for you, a rhetorical question. But what are you working on? What are you working on yourself? Are you even working on yourself? Do you really expect us to believe that you've arrived? I mean, do you think, who would raise their hand and say, you know what, Pastor, let me just proclaim it out loud to everybody right now. I am perfect. I make no mistakes. Now, unless you're Jesus Christ, which we know you're not, we all have areas in our lives we ought to be working on. You know that there ought to be things in your life, you ought to be able to, and I'm not saying you need to be able to say them out loud, and I would never say them out loud to you, so don't ask. But if God asked me, Pastor Jimenez,
Say, does God refer to you as Pastor Jimenez? Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. But he's God. But he says, Pastor Jimenez, what are you working on? I can give God a list of things I'm working on.
Well, I'm trying to do this better. I'm trying to get this under control.
I'm trying to be more disciplined in this area.
And my question for you is, what are you working on?
See, here's what happens in your Christian life. Year after year after year goes by, and there's no changes, there's no growth, there's no maturity. And here's what you need to understand. The Christian life is an upward climb. And if you're not constantly climbing up, you're sliding back. Just write it down. You say, you know, you watch people, and it's like, you know, there ought to be a natural growth. Let me, you know, just realize this. If you got saved, you ought to get baptized. It's a growth step. If you say, I come to church on Sunday morning, eventually, you know, I'm glad you come to church on Sunday morning, but we don't want you to come to church on Sunday morning for 20 years. Eventually, you ought to start going on a Wednesday night for Bible study, or on a Sunday. Hey, eventually, you ought to start reading your Bible on your own. Eventually, you ought to start being a soul winner. Eventually, you ought to start giving financially in tithes and offerings. Eventually, you don't want to stay where you're at, because if you're not growing, you're dying. And God says, I want you to get rooted. He said, I want you to get nourished. He said, I want you to do an inward work in yourself. But at the same time, I want you to outwardly be growing. I want you to outwardly be building. I want you to outwardly be maturing. He said, I want you to outwardly be getting better. Do an inventory of your life. Think about it. We're in March of 2013. Ask yourself, where were you in March of 2012? Where were you last year at this time? Now, praise God, some of you can say, man, last year at this time, I was high. And if you're not anymore, that's growth. But you know what? Some of you might be able to say, well, last year at this time, man, I was on fire. And right now, I'm kind of just a dim light. Guess what? You're backslidden. If you're not doing today, if you're not serving God as strong and as faithfully today as you were yesterday, you're going backwards. You're not growing. God says, I want you to get built up in Christ. He said, I want you to grow in Christ. He says, I want you to mature. Build up is an outside, exterior growth. You should be growing. And obviously, we all grow in different stages, and we all grow at different rates. I understand that, and I get that. But there ought to be something that you're doing today. Say, I'm trying to make myself better. You say, Pastor, you know, I don't know if I can read 9 chapters a day. But could you read the proverb of the day? You ever thought about that? Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. A lot of months have 31 days in it. You just start reading the proverb of the day. Today's the 17th. Read Proverbs 17. Now some of you, well, Pastor, what do I do when there's 30 days in the month?
Well, one day you may have to read 2 chapters.
I know it's hard. But you're growing, right? You're extending yourself. Maybe you say, Pastor, I can't read the Bible cover to cover this year. Maybe you can read Proverbs. Maybe you can read Psalms this year. But maybe next year you can read the entire Bible. Maybe next January you can read 9 chapters a day. See, I can't go and be a soul winner and expound all those things about salvation like someone else can. Yeah, but maybe you can just be a silent partner. Maybe, see, you've got to start growing. You've got to initiate the fact that you've got to start building up. You say, well, how do I start? You start building up. You start going up by first going down. You say, how a tree is only going to grow. A tree is only as strong as its roots are. You start working on that inward man, and you start working on that inner man, and you start getting those roots down in that river of the water of the Word of God, and you start getting nourished, and you start getting strengthened, and then you can start building up and growing and becoming a great, mature Christian. Is that number one? He wants you to get rooted. Number two, he wants you to get built up. Number three, look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Verse 7, that's our text for this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, look what it says. Rooted and built up in Him, and number 3, established. Do you see that? Established. Now that's our modern word. I know the King James Bible is really hard to understand, so let me explain to you. Established is just the old word for it. Established. I know it's really hard. I can't understand this King James Bible. Established just means established, okay? So what does that mean? To make firm. To stabilize. To fix. See, God does not want you to just get rooted And he does not just want you to get built up. He wants you to get established, fixed, strong, settled in those things of getting rooted and getting built up. See, the word established, we talked about the root has to do with the inner, things no one sees. The build up has to do with the outward, the things we do on the outside. But the established has to do with the consistency. The established has to do. See, the established means this. When you get fixed on something, it means that not only do you start getting rooted in Christ, but you say, I'm going to get rooted in Christ for the rest of my life. I'm established in this. I'm fixed in this. I'm not changing my mind. The Bible tells us that, I'm going to misquote it now, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what that means? The opposite of being established. Unstable is being the opposite of being established. And when you're double-minded, what that means is you're constantly going back, well, I don't know. I don't really know about this King James thing. I don't really know about salvation by grace. I don't, you know, eternal security. You know, I don't know about the Baptist or this or that. I don't know. You're constantly going back and forth. You'll never accomplish anything for Christ. You need to just decide. You need to just make a choice and decide, you know what? I'm in this for the long run. Paul said, I'm going to finish my course. He said, I'm going to end this thing. He said, I'm not quitting halfway through. I'm not going to just constantly be, you know, did I make the right choice? Let me tell you something. Let me help you with your marriage a little bit. Get established and fixed in your marriage, and don't at your 10-year anniversary start wondering, did I marry the right woman? It's too late for that. Just get fixed. You understand what I'm saying? We're constantly doubting. You know, it's like, good night, you've been married for 25 years, and now you're going to start doubting whether or not you married the right person? Now you're going to start doubting, did I really do the right thing? Just get fixed on something. Just make a choice on something. You know, I thank God that one thing that I was taught as a child is to just get fixed on the things of God. Let me just give you some practical things, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But the only reason I'm even bringing this example up is because I've had multiple people in the last few months say this to me. And let me just correct a thought. If you tell your children that they, go ahead and stay home from church because you got to finish your homework. You know what you just taught your children? That homework is more important than God. Amen. You say, well, kids, you're going to have to stay home because you've got to play this game, or you've got to stay home because you've got to do this. Or kids, let me tell you something. You know what? I thank God that at my house, the attending the church and attending the things of God was the most important thing. And you say, well, did your parents let you go to church when you didn't get your homework? No, somehow they managed to make sure I got my homework done and we went to church. Maybe when your kids get home, you gotta make them do their homework and then make sure they're in church on Wednesday night. I don't understand this concept. When I was a kid, I got home from school. Before we turned on the TV, before we went out and played, before we did anything else, we got our homework done. Because guess what? At 6:45, we were in church. And you get in this concept where anything, you know, the issue we have in Christianity today is nothing is fixed. Nothing is settled. Everything's up for debate. Will we be in church on Sunday morning? Well, it depends how we feel. Is it hot outside? I don't know. My root's not very deep. That's the truth. What is it? I don't know about this thing about soul winning. Look, you gotta just get fixed in your mind. I'm a soul winner. Period. End of story. I'll spend my entire life out soul winning. Is it hot outside? It don't matter to me. I'm rooted in Christ. Is it cold outside? Doesn't matter. They've got these things. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They're called jackets. Well, Master, you're saying it's raining. I've got this nifty invention for you. It's called an umbrella. I know you're made out of sugar and you think you're going to melt in the rain, but listen, just get rooted in Christ. Amen. And by the way, when you're rooted in Christ, you don't get offended when the pastor preaches hard.
That's right.
When you're rooted in Christ, you don't get mad. Well, Pastor, all you're showing us is that your strength is not in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You got to get rooted. You got to get built up. You gotta get fixed. You gotta get established. You gotta just, there should be something. And listen, I'm all for changing things if they need to be changed. I'm all for making things better if they need to be fixed. But let me tell you something. There are certain things in your life that just do not change. There are certain things in your life that they're not up for debate. It's not up for debate at my house. My kids do never, my son never wakes up on Sunday morning and asks, Dad, are we going to church this morning? He knows we're going to church this morning. My kids get up on Monday morning and say, Dad, are we going to church this morning? I said, no, we had church yesterday. Oh, okay. Let me know when is the next time we're going to church. I said, why is that? They're fixed on it. That's the kind of kid that's going to grow up and go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, not dread it. You're teaching your child that, well, you know, I've got to work at Wendy's. I've got my first job at Wendy's. I'm making $6.75. Don't you know that? $6.75 an hour is more important than God's word? I don't think so. And you say, well, I'm going to teach my kids stability. You can't teach your kids stability unless you learn to get stable. And you can't teach your... You say, well, my husband's not very stable. Why don't you get stable, wife? Why don't you get stable, husband? Why don't you get fixed and stable in the Word of God? We see, the problem is we don't have many Christians today. The unfortunate thing is we don't have many Christians today that have this legacy of saying, I've been serving God for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years. Hey, would to God that 50 years from now, we could look back and there'd be some of you to say, man, I've been serving God at Verity Baptist Church for 50 years. I've been stable. I've been fixed. I've been consistent. I've been doing this. I'm not finishing. That's what we need. See, when Christ saved you, he said, well, he saved me to go to heaven. But then he commands you to walk with him for the rest of your life. And if you're going to walk with him, you're going to have to get fixed on serving him. It's not up for debate. You're there in Colossians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians is the next book in the Bible there. You got 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter number 2, verse 17. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Look what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, the Bible says, comfort your heart and establish you. So establish in what? In every good word. What is that a reference to? Being rooted. Look at this. In every good word, referring to your roots, and work, referring to being built up. So what do I get established in? Your roots. And you're building. You gotta get established. You gotta get fixed. Somebody said this quote to me. Well, go to 2 Corinthians real quick. Let me show you this. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians. Say, Pastor, are we actually almost done? No, I gotta say that about four times before we're actually almost done. It's code word. The first almost done means we're on our third point. Second, we're almost done with this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Real quick. We're almost done. I say it because it calms you down. Some of you get, I don't know about all this. We're almost done. Oh, okay, good. Then I preach for a little while. I don't know. 2 Corinthians, are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 21. I don't want you to miss this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 21. Look what it says. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in God. So what I get established in? In Christ. In his word. In God. See, I really believe this. And this is the problem that I think a lot of us have. Is to us, Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with Christ is an add-on to our lives. It's something we do on Sunday. It's something we do on Wednesday night. God says, I don't want you to add me to your life. He says, I want to be your life. He says, I want everything about you to revolve around God and Christianity and the things of God and the Word of God. Say, so is it just for you, Pastor? No, it's for all of us. He says, be established in Him. But notice, I don't want you to miss this. Look at verse 21 again. Now He which establisheth us, don't miss this. He which establisheth us in Christ. Is that what it says? Notice what it says. He which establisheth us with you in Christ. Do you see that? Paul is speaking to a church here in Corinth, and he's saying, not only does God fix you in Christ, not only does he establish you in Christ, but he said God fixes you and God establishes you with us in Christ. You say, what does that mean? You ought to get established, not just on Jesus, but get established with other believers in Christ. With other church people in Christ. I heard a quote just recently. It said this, fellowship is one of the keys to spiritual growth and success. Because as you share your walk with God, in an atmosphere of love and respect, the entire assembly is strengthened. See, what you need to understand is you will not succeed in your Christian life if you think you're the spiritual lone ranger and you're going to go out there and fight the devil on your own. You're going to fail miserably. You need people to partner up with you. You need people to come alongside and say, hey, I've missed you lately. I'm praying for you, sister. I'm praying for you, brother. I understand you're going through some hard. You need that in your Christian life. That's why God, you say, why did God establish the church? He didn't, look, I'm all for all the activities and all the things, but look, you can go somewhere else and get an Easter egg hunt. You understand that? You can go somewhere else and get a donut. You can go somewhere else and get a whole lot of things, but what you're not going to get on TV, what you're not going to get, you say, well, I'll listen to preaching on TV, but you're not going to get the fellowship on TV. You're not going to get the relationships on TV. You're not going to get to know people and love people and invest yourself in others, and there's a strength in that. You ought to get established not just in the Word of God, but you ought to establish with other believers. You got to invest your life in others. Go back to Colossians real quickly. Colossians. We're almost done. Colossians, are you there? We are almost done. Stay with me for 1 minute and we'll be done. Colossians, chapter number 2. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, he says, in this manner, in this way, walk ye in Him. How do I walk in Him? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Notice, as ye have been taught. How do you get taught if you're not in church? How do you get taught if you're not under the teaching of the Word of God? Let me tell you something. Sometimes people, I talk to people and they get this idea. They say, well, I don't need church because I just read the Bible on my own. Let me tell you something. That's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong concept. Well, I'm going to read the Bible on my own, so I don't need church. And then on the flip side, you've got people who say, well, I'm not going to read the Bible on my own because I'm just going to go to church and have the pastor teach it to me. That's a wrong concept too. You say, well, why is that? Well, here's why. The Bible refers to reading the Word as eating. Often in the Scriptures, you find that concept. We saw it today. Being nourished by the Word. Okay? If you, when you got saved, when you get saved, you're a spiritual baby. That's what the Bible says. I'm not calling you a baby, but when you're saved, we're all spiritual babies. And when you start learning to feed yourself, it means you're maturing, you're growing. But here's the thing. If I allow my 3-year-old, Joel, to just, you know, he when he was one, he was fed. I'm using him because he's in the age, right? You know, Josh is too old and Elizabeth's too young. But Joel, you know, he was being fed by his mother his whole life. And then he began to grow these gnarly looking teeth. And he began to start reaching for food. You know what that's telling us? When kids start reaching for food, it means that they're growing. They're to the plate. So guess what? We started allowing him to feed himself. He's maturing in his life. Just like you'll mature in your Christian life. Now here's the problem. If we allow him to just feed himself whatever he wants, guess what? He's going to get a steady diet of ho-hos and Lucky Charms. And in your Christian life, if you say, well, I don't need somebody to feed me because I'll just feed myself. Yeah, but the problem is you only read Psalms. And I love the book of Psalms. And thank God for the book of Psalms. But we only read Proverbs. Or we only read the books that we like or the things that we like. And that's good. You need that and you grow that. But guess what? Every once in a while, you need to come to Verity Baptist Church and have Pastor Jimenez feed you some broccoli. And feed you some things that maybe you don't like and maybe you don't want to hear. And teach you some things from the Bible. And you say, well, I don't want to hear that. Because it's funny how we learn what we want to learn. And we grasp what we want to grasp. But every once in a while, you need somebody to stand up and yell and tell you what you don't want to hear. And feed you the things you don't want to get fed. And every once in a while, you got to tell the child, yes, you will eat the greens, the peas, the leaves, and then you can have the candy. And then spend $1,800 at the dentist. I'm just going to feed myself. Well, you're going to be a real weak Christian. You say, well, I'm only going to allow Pastor Jimenez to feed me, and that way I'll make sure I only get broccoli. Look, you can eat broccoli all you want, but if you only eat broccoli, you say, I'm going to only eat broccoli, and I'm going to be the healthiest person ever. But if you only eat broccoli on Sunday mornings, physically, I'm talking about your physical life, I'm only going to eat once a week.
But I'm going to have a green smoothie. I'm going to have broccoli. You're going to die. You say, why? Because you got to eat every day. You got to feed yourself every day. But every once in a while, you need somebody to feed you too. And talk to you too. And tell you the things you don't want to hear. And tell you and give you the food you don't want to be fed. Look what it says. Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Notice this, abounding therein. Abounding therein. You say abounding means doing more. More, not less. Abounding therein. What is the therein referring to? Being rooted, building, getting established. He says, I want you to get rooted, but I want you to abound in the getting rooted. He said, I want you to read the Bible, but I want you to read the Bible more and more every day. I want you to pray, and maybe you just start off saying, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes a day, because I've never prayed before. But eventually, you ought to start growing in that prayer life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eventually, he says, I want you to abound in the roots, and I want you to abound in the building up, and I want you to abound in the establishment of your life. That's what I want. He said, abounding therein, in the rooted, and the built up, and the established. He says, more, not less. More church, and more Bible, and more loving people, and more serving people, and more soul winning, and more doing the things that God wants you to do. Not less. See, our goal, you say, why do you preach sermons like this, Pastor Jimenez? Because I don't know if you understand this. Maybe it's good for me to explain it every once in a while. But our goal at Verity Baptist Church is to develop mature followers of Jesus Christ. That's why we get you saved. That's why we try to get you baptized. That's why we preach the way we do and we teach the way we do. Is we're trying to grow you. And help. That's our goal. I don't know if you understand this. You say, well, why is your church the way it is? Because we've got a specific goal. We want to mature you. Look, if I wanted to start a church to just be like every other liberal church out there, I just wouldn't have done it. If I just wanted to go to a church where I felt like I was walking into a nightclub and it was just this rock concert and the preaching was 10 minutes and it was shallow and they didn't even have the right Bible, guess what? Those churches are a dime a dozen, and that's what they're worth. If you just want a church where you can, I just want to go and nothing's very specific and you say, well, how do you know those people aren't growing? I know they're not growing because they go to those churches and they think, well, it's fine for a Christian to just live in fornication. It's fine for a pastor to be a drunkard. It's fine. Just come as you are and never change and never grow. Show me in the Bible where it says that God wants you to just get saved and stay the same. Never does it say that in Scripture. Jesus says, I want you to follow me and I want you to conform to the image of His Son. He said, I want you to grow. And if you think that you're, well, I'm going to come to this church and then, you know, what's wrong with this church? Look, if we just wanted to have this shallow, lame, boring preaching, we could do that anywhere. Let's just go somewhere else. We do it this way because our goal is to mature you. Our goal is to grow you. Our goal is to help you get rooted and built up and established in Christ. That's the goal. Our goal is to develop mature followers of Jesus Christ. Our goal is not to develop a crowd. You understand that? Just get this in your mind. My goal as a pastor is not to gather a crowd. Because preaching like this, I don't know if you know this, doesn't generally do that. If my goal was to get a crowd, I'd go find some rock concert artist. I'd go find Amy Grant or whoever. I'd go find some singer and bring them here and then start printing out little flyers and say, so-and-so, Third Day is going to be singing for us. Is that a Christian rock group? I think they are. If I want to gather a crowd, that's what I do. I damn sure wouldn't preach for an hour the Bible. That's not the goal. The goal is to help you grow. And if the goal is to help you grow, then guess what? We're gonna sing for 15 minutes and preach for an hour, not sing for an hour and preach for 15 minutes, like most churches do. The goal is for you to become like Christ. That's what you need. And by the way, when the heat comes, that's the only thing that's going to help. I can't help you through the trials. I can write you a note and I can pray for you and I can call you and say, I'm praying for you, brother. But at the end of the day, your walk with God is what's going to help you get through the trials and tribulations of life.
And that's what you need. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray that there may be people here this morning who say, you know what? I don't just want to be entertained on a Sunday morning. I want to develop a relationship with Christ. I want to grow. Lord, I'm asking you, as the pastor of this church, I'm asking you that you would help me grow, me learn, me to mature and develop. Help all of us, Lord, to be growing. Help us to get rooted and built up and established in Christ, in the faith. Father, we love you. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.